Good morning and welcome to episode 191 of Taking the Charge Podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Welcome to the show. Yes, another week, another show, another fantastic week of great basketball. Even though I guess there's really not loads and loads of basketball, the NBA has kind of taken over as the only basketball, only major basketball, of course, I guess we should say. Domestic leagues in Europe are kind of starting up their playoffs, some of them. And EuroLeague is on hold for another few days. And then, obviously, this week is the Final Four in Berlin. And I will actually be heading out there today. Actually, I am on the road, probably in the train. While you're listening to this, I'm actually recording this beforehand and actually to make sure that I get it out to you early Wednesday, much earlier than you usually do get it. So enjoy that one. Yeah, so I guess first let's start off with how you can get in contact with us. Obviously, easiest way is on Twitter, and that's I'm at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. There's Facebook, put Taking the Charge Podcast and in there, and you will find the group. And we do ask you to be invited in, and of course we will let you in, but we want to welcome you in. There's the website, and that's heinnews.com, and the email address is heinnews@gmx.de. Okay. Yeah, let's start with the NBA. I'm not really going to go into any of the domestic leagues. I really haven't been paying attention other than a little bit with Germany. So NBA, Cleveland, not a surprise. Yeah, I guess you could kind of say demolished. Just really handled without very much difficulties. The Atlanta Hawks swept them 4-0, and so now they have about a week to relax. Then you have the Raptors and the Heat, and they are knotted at 2. Miami taking the first game, and then Toronto grabbing games 2 and 3, and now Miami taking game 4 to even it up. Really just kind of watched the highlights of this and been pretty exciting. You have 3 overtime games, and then you have the other game being a 4-point victory by Toronto. So, some pretty entertaining, at least exciting, not necessarily entertaining, but at least exciting games. So it goes to Toronto for game 5 on today, Wednesday. And then game 6 is on Friday in Miami. And then game 7, if necessary, would be back in Toronto on Sunday. So the other two series in the West, I think Portland missed their chance. They got off to this red hot start. Actually watched had it on the entire game. I was actually watching the end of the. I was up early and was watching the Miami game, and then Portland and the Warriors came on and saw that it was I think it was 16-2 start or something like that. Pretty insane. And Portland, you know, missed a chance to go to grab game 2, game 4, even it up at 2. Curry, you know, hadn't played the first 3 games, and he showed he's a worthy MVP. I think he scored 41, I think that's what he had, and was Curry, really. I mean, he clearly was struggling with his outside shot a little bit and then just heated up. I think he was 1-for-10 for three-pointers for a while there and then just kind of lit it up. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's over on today, on Wednesday, back at Golden State, this game five. I wouldn't be surprised if the thing's over. It would take a huge effort now from Damian Lillard and the Trail Blazers to get back into this. But it seemed to me that it's over. Spurs and Thunder, on the other hand, interesting series. You know, you have the Spurs blowing out OKC in the first game, and then really tight games in 2 and 3 with them splitting, and then OKC taking game four with a big game from Kevin Durant to even it up. So 2-2. Goes back to San Antonio. Actually, that'll be over by the time this podcast is out. And then that's game five. Game six is on Thursday back in Oklahoma City. And then game seven, if necessary, is on Sunday as well in San Antonio. So, yeah, two blowouts. And otherwise, the other two games were really tight. So, good games. Again, haven't seen those. I did watch some of the highlights of those. So interesting stuff, interesting. And, you know, it seems that, Spurs Thunder matchup is going to go down to the end. I mean, it's gonna, I could totally see that this thing going seven games. And I think it's probably not bad for the Spurs. I mean, okay, it might hurt them a little bit as far as having to play seven games, but you know that the Warriors are going to play at least five games. You know, so it seems to me that, you know, having the Spurs, you know, really take on a team like the Thunder, you know, gives them a chance to figure out ways to have to overcome. You know, if it does go game seven, they're going to have to overcome have to win a big game, you know, back to your wall, back to the wall game, which will definitely come into, which will definitely happen later on in the series. And the other in the East, I don't see either of these teams, the Raptors or the Heat, giving the Cavaliers much of a fight. I mean, Cavaliers, okay, maybe they can go to five. I doubt it would go to six with either team. You know, maybe, you know, there's, you know, LeBron in the Heat. That might be, a little bit more, you know, those guys might be a little more jacked up to play against LeBron. But I don't know. I mean, maybe a sixth game. But that would be the absolute most. So you're looking at Cleveland. Would not be surprised at all. Cleveland and Warriors. Now that Curry is back, and the question is if he remains healthy. That's I think now what they have to do. You know, you figure played yesterday the 9th. Another, you know, so one day off. Another game, another day off, and another game, and then game seven would actually be not until Monday. But that series that's not going seven. So, but this would be good, you know, and that would really help the Warriors. Would give them that much more advantage where if Curry can get some rest. Move on to the EuroLeague, I guess. Obviously, matchup is there. You know, you have the Final Four, and it's, you know, it's ready, it's set. You have the Russians taking on each other, and with CSKA against Lokomotiv Kuban Krasnodar. Yeah, just a good old-fashioned battle. I think it's going to be, you know, there's going to be really, really high-level guard play with Teodosic and De Colo for the for Moscow, and then you have the what's his name? The I'm drawing a blank. Delaney, Malcolm Delaney. League record for minutes played this season. Just is their overall go-to guy. There are some interesting storylines here. You know, you have obviously Moscow not winning a title since 2008. You do have Olympiacos gone, but you actually have the coach of Olympiacos who won over CSKA with Georges Bartsokas is the Lokomotiv Kuban coach. So there's that. And, you know, you have the Russian matchup, and, you know, they both won this year. I can't remember if they took their road games in the VTB. It's going to be a battle. It would seem to me that CSKA Moscow can get this done. But I think, you know, a guy like Randolph is going to be probably, you know, Delaney's going to give you something. But I think Randolph is going to be the key. They kind of have to stop him. CSKA has to stop him. And it would seem to me that the Lokomotiv Kuban is going to have to somehow try to slow down Dekolo and Teodosic. If they can kind of do that, then they have a chance. But I'm taking CSKA. And in the other game, you have Fenerbahce and Labrador Kucha, Vitoria Gasteiz. You know, Labrador actually have held the upper hand in this matchup over the last few years in the EuroLeague. But I mean, you know, you throw any record out the door in a game like this. You have the legend on the sidelines with Chelko Obradovic. Obviously, Perosovic has put together a fantastic team. And, you know, this is really going to be a fun game because there's two teams that are so versatile, and have so many different people doing so many different things that, you know, it's really, really, really going to be a fun game. You know, the coaches were teammates when Yugoslavia won the gold medal at the 1990 World Championship. So there's that. A little bit of rivalry between the coaches. You know, there's the health of Jan Vesely, but I think he should be okay. Borussis is playing out of his mind, so you know they're gonna have to somehow figure out a way. Fenerbahce is gonna have to somehow find a way to slow him down. You have the quick guards for Laboral. You know, are Fenerbahce going to be able to defend them? Then you have key guys like Kalinic and Hunga, who could, you know, really be X factors. You know, Bertons, if he gets hot, you know, he can hit anything. And then, you know, a guy like Luigi De Tome, who just, you know, has so much, just, you know, can do so many things. There are some leaders. You know, you look at Pero Antic with Fenerbahce, obviously won a title twice. And then you have a guy like Borussis on the other side. So that battle is going to be fun. It's just good old fun game. It's, you know, usually the second game, if the first game is exciting, it's sometimes it's kind of hard to get the energy back up, and you know the game starts, the this first semifinal starts at 6 p.m. and the second semifinals at 9 p.m. So, you know, especially, you know, if that first game is really thrilling, you just have to wonder a little bit about the you know, how the teams can get themselves into the game, whereas the crowd, you know, might still be sort of, you know, in wow of how that first game is. So that might be a factor as well. Not saying it will, but you know, it could. I think I'm gonna go with Laboral. I know that's probably not what many people are doing, but I think I'm gonna take them. Watch Fenerbahce will win, and I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. Obviously, Sloukas is there as well, and he's had a title or two that he's won at Olympiacos. I'll take Laboral, but obviously it wouldn't surprise me in the very least if Fenerbahce take it. Also at the yearly Final Four is the Adidas Next Generation Finals. They are starting on Thursday at the Sport Forum, and really, you know, to be honest, it's really, you know, in my eyes, it's really one game in my eyes, it's going to decide it. And that is the penultimate game, in group B, that's Real Madrid, playing, Cervena Zvezda. And that's a matchup, obviously, of the last two finals, with Zvezda taking the 2014 title and Real Madrid beating them in a thriller for the 2015 title last year. Real Madrid obviously did the double, first time that happened since 2006. It's the only other time. And actually, for the first time since, I think it was 2011, there's no, none of the Adidas Next Generation teams are also represented in the EuroLeague Final Four. The last 4 years, you had 2 years of Real Madrid, and then the 2 years before that, you had Barcelona. But obviously, Real Madrid and Barcelona are not in the Final Four, so none of the teams are in the Final Four. On the last game of Group A, I think could decide the finalist, that would be Shagiris against Barcelona. Shagiris, you know, there's been reports out there that Isaiah Hartenstein will not be playing. I never got a confirmation or not. He is listed on the roster for Shagiris, so if he's going to play, I don't know. You know, Barcelona's pretty loaded, and you know, since the final in at Hospitalet, you know, they also got back Rodions Kuros, the Latvian all-around talent. And they actually just last weekend took down Real Madrid in the finals of the under 18 Spanish championships. And they actually, and that was of course the final of the Hospitalet final in the suburbs of Barcelona that Real Madrid won. But Barcelona beat Real Madrid in the finals. So there's the extra motivation from Real Madrid saying, all right, we need to, you know, get back. And obviously this is hugely important. But on the other hand, it's Barcelona saying, all right, we know we can beat these guys. It was a really, really tough dogfight, low-scoring affair in the Hospitalet final. And now, you know, it might just happen. It might just be that there's the Barcelona-Real Madrid rematch. Then again, Zvezda might take it. You know, Zvezda still have Simic, still have Radonov. You know, they have Djordjevic. and you know, a couple other guys. So wouldn't shock me. I don't see Ritos. I don't see Berlin, Albert Berlin taking either of those, taking down either of those teams. Mega Bimax, I don't think they are going to have the firepower without Alexander Anidatovich, who's out with an ACL tear. And INSEP, you know, they only have, I think, two, maybe max three of their 98s. And those 99s might be good, but I just don't know if they are going to be good enough to get by Barcelona or Shagiris. They do have Sekou Doumbouya, something like that, the 2000 star that I'm really looking forward to seeing. They also have, I think, at least 2001 player, born player. So, you know, it's going to be a real young INSEP team. And so I don't see them taking it either. So really, I think that last game between Shagiris and Barcelona, they should both be undefeated. Shagiris, even without Hartenstein, should get to that point without too much difficulty being undefeated. And, you know, okay, Mega would be the other team, you know, that could make it, that could sneak in there because of the Novak Music and Marco Pekarski, who are both excellent, excellent players. Pekarski, obviously, one of the top players of the 2000 born generation. But, yeah, it seems to me it's going to be Shagiris Barcelona. And I'm going to pick Barcelona. I'm going to pick, actually, I think I'm going to have to go with Zvezda. But Real Madrid's going to win it. But I think I'll pick Zvezda. So Barcelona reaching the Barcelona would never won it. Real Madrid would be the first repeat champion since FMP, who repeated in Berlin in 2009. So there's that history there, that Berlin was the site of the last repeat. Been one-time winners since then. With Real Madrid taking the 2015 crown. All right, interviews. I'm going to actually start with an older interview. I'm going to crack out one from the 2015 Adidas Next Generation. The chat I had with Luka Doncic, who was obviously the MVP. Listeners of the show, you know, who were there last year, obviously have heard it, but I'm going to start with that. And so let you listen to that, and then I'll tell you what's up after that. Luca, we are here at the Adidas Next Generation Tournament in the finals. Your thoughts about being here?
It's a great opportunity to show us. It's great to be here, and we hope that we're going to win this.
Thoughts about last night? Did you watch the game, Real Madrid and the Juventus? Thoughts about the big soccer club not making it to the final?
Yes, we are. We don't like this because we are not in the final, so...
If you change that on the basketball court.
Yeah, we will win this now.
Did you watch it as a team?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You were the youngest player in Real Madrid history to start in the HDB. What were your thoughts about that when you were on the court? What did you think when you were on there? You know, I mean, this is obviously a dream for you for a while.
Yes, I don't know. But the feelings were great, and I felt very good. It's a great experience.
What does it mean? Because Rubio was obviously the youngest in league history. What does it mean to be sort of connected to that name, even in that regard?
It's great because Rubio is a great player. He plays in Minnesota, and I like him. I like him very much.
Your dad played professionally for a lot of years, also in the EuroLeague. How much communication do you have still in basketball? How much basketball do you talk to him? What do you guys talk about?
Yes, we talk a lot about basketball, but he's helping me, and he's helping me.
How does he help you?
Like, you know, if I do something wrong, he make me to do it right.
You're considered, you know, everybody talks to you about the next superstar. How do you deal with that?
I'm just working harder every day, and I hope I will be there.
Where do you think your game is at? What do you think you do? What part of the game do you like the most?
I like a lot of game. You know, I like to play defense. I like to play offense.
What are you more excited about, throwing up the alley-oop dunk or catching the alley-oop dunk and dunking it?
I think throwing it.
Nice. Why that?
You feel more special, you know. It's your pass.
When you're not playing basketball, what do you do?
I don't know. I go to the court and I throw at the basket. And I play PlayStation, you know.
What do you play?
What
do you play, PlayStation?
FIFA and NBA.
What team are you, FIFA? What team are you, NBA?
Real Madrid and Warriors, Golden State.
Golden State? Okay. If somebody were to look at your smartphone and look at your music, what would they be surprised to see?
They would be... I only listen to Balkanic music, you know, from my country, Balkanic.
Okay. Balkanic, okay. I saw you practice judo. Do you still do judo, and is there any other sports that you do?
No, I like judo. I did a lot of sports. Yeah. I ski, I dance.
Uh-huh. Dance?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Good for the court, huh?
Yeah, and play football very long.
How did you develop your court vision? That's something that everybody says they love about you, is that your vision of the court. How did you develop that? Or how do you develop that?
I don't know. I see a lot of things. No, you must be interested in the things.
As far as your game goes, what's the next one or two things you want to do to improve your game?
I want to rebound, to pass, to make, and to play the team to play.
Real Madrid has never won this tournament. They reached the final last year. What would it mean for you, for this club, to win this title?
It would mean very special to all of the club. We would be very happy. I hope so.
I know you have to go. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay. I wanted to get. I wanted to get you guys in the mood for the Adidas Next Generation. Also, then now going starting the coverage of the 2016 FIBA Under 17 World Championship, which obviously tips off on June 23rd in Saragossa. We're picking up the coverage on that, and I had a couple of pieces out on. On some of those guys. We're on a couple of interviews that I've had. First one is with Canadian 99 born talent Ignas Bratsikas, who was born in Kaunas. So there's definitely a European flair there. So here's my chat with Ignas Bratsikas. Brastikas, so catch you on the other side of that.
All right, fantastic. So Ignas Brastikas, first of all, I guess let me ask you your thoughts about this past season with Orangeville. You guys in the Ontario High School Basketball Association had a big fight with your neighbors right there.
Yes.
With Athletes Institute. Tell me about how season went for you guys.
So the season was good, a really good experience. We were a young team, and we started out not really knowing how to play with each other. But as the season progressed, we learned our tendencies and how to play with each other. And we had the OSBA, we dominated the entire season, and we didn't lose until we played Athletes Institute, and we ended up losing to them. They were like a really strong team, and they had a good game plan against us, and they came up and won.
This was your first season with Orangeville, after coming over from Oakville. Did you have mainly a Canadian only season last year with Oakville, or did you also
we only played in Canada? Yeah.
So what was that like for you? I mean, you guys went down, down to the States and played, played some games. Talk about the, that whole experience for you.
Well, the first, we went down to Florida and it was like a showcase, and it was like a huge difference between like my last season playing in Oakville and Canada and then playing in the States. And the competition was a lot higher, guys were stronger, taller, more physical and stuff. So I had to adjust playing with them. And
did you guys play Montverde there as well?
No, we did not.
No, you didn't. Okay, okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was a big transition for me, but I learned to play with these guys, and I feel like I'm doing good now.
What was the biggest thing you think that, you weren't ready? Was it the physicality? Was it the quickness? What do you think was lacking early on?
Early on, I think it was just the tempo, getting used to the tempo of the game. It was a lot faster than what I was used to, like going up and down, and then also as well physicality. I think I wasn't used to, like, I was used to going to the rim and just finishing without having to do anything. But, and then when I started playing at first, like, it was hard to, like, get open, and I'd get blocked sometimes. But I learned to manage the tall physical defenders, and yeah, so that was probably the biggest change from last year to this year.
You had a lot of games, and what areas do you think you improved most on over the course of this year?
That I already improved on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I think that aggressive mindset, yeah, I improved on that, and physicality as well. I really worked a lot in the weight room this year, and I feel like all of that work helped me paid off this year, because I was able to compete with the stronger guys. And I guess it was just aggression and getting my mind right.
Outside shot. I don't have the stats at all. Do you know roughly what you shot from outside?
To be honest, I don't even want to take a guess.
Oh, you know. Okay. Did it feel good for you this year, though?
Yeah, I think it was a good percentage, but I mean, I still need to make it more consistent, because like some games I feel like I can't miss. Like every shot I take is going to go in, and then other games I just get into like a slump and just can't even hit a shot. But I think that's a lot of mental, as well as getting a lot of reps in.
Yeah. What other areas are you working on then? I mean, you're still young. You still have so many things that you can work on. But what are the next couple of things you want to work on?
Well, right now I'm just trying to get my jump shot, like elevate higher on my jump shot to see over the defenders and have a clear view of the basket, as well as physically. I'm in the weight room a lot now, trying to get physically better. And also defensively, trying to focus on being a defensive stopper and trying to be like the vocal leader of my team.
Why don't we go back a little bit? You were born in Kaunas. And I believe I saw before your third birthday, you came over to North America. You came to the States. Is that right?
Yeah, around that time, yeah.
Okay. And then it looks like it was a Chicago, Winnipeg, Etobicoke. Is that how you say that?
Etobicoke. Yeah.
Maybe just kind of talk a little bit through that. What kind of memories do you have of that, of those stops? I mean, you're obviously pretty young then.
Yeah, I don't have too many memories of Lithuania. Just leaving every single relative I have was pretty big for me. And moving to Chicago was like a total new experience. Like, I couldn't even speak English back then, so it was hard, but I learned to new things, new learning about the society in North America, stuff like that. Then because I started playing a little bit in Chicago, but I wasn't like just for fun sometimes, but it totally goes away when we started to play basketball at around like 6, I think. My dad started training me, and yeah, he basically taught me most of the stuff I know. And after the Tulsa Club, like, I never looked back, and I kept playing basketball since then.
And when did you think, you know, okay, this is something that I want to at least invest a lot of time in?
Mm-hmm.
When was that? When do you think that was?
Oh, when I started playing?
Yeah, you started playing, and then, but at what point, you know, did you say, okay, this is something I want to invest, you know,
well,
a lot?
At the age of six, I started playing, like, at this, like, Lithuanian, like, recreation league, and, like, around Toronto, Mississauga, and I realized I was really good, and basically at that moment, I knew that I wanted to play basketball. Basically, since I started playing, I knew that basketball is what I wanted to do, and my dad was there pushing me the whole way through.
And did your dad play at all?
No, not really. But he's an athletic guy.
Yeah.
Like, he knows a lot about sports and stuff like that.
And he's Lithuanian, so basketball is definitely in the blood.
For sure, yeah.
That connection you have to Lithuania, I believe I heard or read somewhere that you went back to Lithuania last summer. Is that right?
Yeah.
And how was that?
Yeah, it was really good. Just visiting for like 3 weeks, seeing all my relatives again, my grandparents, aunts, uncles, everything. I had family, and then I went to this training place. And, like, not a training place, but, like, a trial for a school. But I was just going there for a workout, and that was a cool experience. I mean, we just did mostly drills, but it was a lot different than here in Canada.
Did I read right that you went to the Martial Arts Academy then for that time, or no?
Yeah, I just went for, like, a workout.
Okay. And did you see Sharunas there? Martial arts?
No, I didn't know.
Okay.
No.
What was it like in that? I mean, because that's obviously, you know, he's one of the greats, the legends in the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, wait, what's the question?
What was that like being there?
Oh, that was really cool. I mean, I didn't expect to even work out once in Lithuania, and then getting that opportunity was really cool. Even though I think a lot of the guys that were really good at that school were playing pro at the time or something like that. But it was still a cool experience.
Yeah. How much knowledge of Lithuanian players do you have? I mean, some of the players that you look up to, are they Lithuanians then?
Well, like, I really like Marcelonis.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's probably my favorite Lithuanian basketball player of all time. He's a lefty like me and mm-hmm. really physically strong.
Yeah.
Went to played in Golden State and was really good. So, yeah, I kind of look up to him a lot.
Okay. Did you follow much of Jacekevich at Sorunas as well now?
A little bit, yeah. He's a really good point guard, and like some of the things he did in his career were ridiculous. Like when he played against the U.S. and basically mm-hmm. won by himself was crazy.
Yeah. But you're much more fan of Marcelonis, also because of the lefty.
Yeah, and I think that he's. I'm taller than him, but like he's more of my position player,
yeah.
Like a guard, attacking guard.
Yeah, a bulldog going to the lane.
Yeah.
We met at the Jordan Brand Invitational. There was an exhibition game. You guys actually played against Oak Hill,
mm-hmm.
and we'll come back to Oak Hill in a minute, but. Maybe take a, you know, what was that whole experience for like for you? I mean, you kind of got to tour around some facilities, and you know, there was a new Jordan mm-hmm. new Jordan store there as well. What was that whole Jordan brand experience like for you?
It was really cool. Like at first, like even seeing that we're gonna play on TSN was ridiculous for TSN and ESPN. was really cool. And then we went to Toronto. We got to see the Jordan store before it even opened. Victor Oladipo was there. There's new like gaming system, all the shoes in the world you can think of, and that was really cool. Then the Jordan brand really took care of us. It was gear and stuff like that, which was awesome.
And what'd you think about the game? I mean, Oak Hill, as they, you know, they ended up winning the U.S. high school championship. If I remember correctly, you had a pretty good game. You guys ended up losing, but, you know, it was a pretty decent fight for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really good game. It was really exciting, and it was really hyped up. And Oak Hill is, like, a really great team. And it was really exciting playing against them. Yeah.
But there was something else that the whole experience was made it even more special. Is there somebody sitting at the courtside, right?
Yeah, well, Carmelo Anthony was courtside, which was really sick. And like, he's one of the guys I look up to, and is one of my favorite players of all time. And that was really cool for me.
Probably pretty nervous at the beginning, no?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I was a little bit nervous, but as soon as the game started, I was just focused and locked in and wanted to get to win.
Uh-huh. You didn't have a chance to talk to him all, did you?
No.
If you had had something to ask him, what would you have asked him?
I'd have a lot of questions, to be honest. That's the thing I would like to think over, but to ask him, like, I would ask him, like, how, like, what did he do at my age to get where he is now?
All right, so older brother, younger sister, older sister, younger brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do either of them play ball at all?
Well, my sister played basketball for a little bit, but she was never really into it. But now my brother is 11 years old, and he found the same love for basketball that I have.
Okay.
And he's really into it, and yeah.
Is he good?
Yeah, he's really good. He has the potential to be really good.
What's his name?
Augustus.
Augustus, okay. All right, let's get into the national team. You guys are heading to the FIBA Under-17 World Championship in a few months.
Yeah.
And you're the runner-up from the FIBA Americas. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, I know you don't probably want to talk too much about it because it was a pretty painful experience, but just maybe the biggest thing you learned, you and the team learned from that final, when you guys had the big lead early in the second quarter, but were not able to bring it home. What was the biggest thing looking back that you think you and the team learned from that?
I think that we just have to stay composed, because I think, like, we hyped the game up to be something, like, insane. Like, Kansas is on our shoulders and stuff, but we shouldn't feel that kind of pressure playing, especially because U.S. is a really great team, and we should just go out there and have fun, because Indian basketball is just a game, and we should try to enjoy it more and play the way we always do and not, like, feel pressured.
Canada was third in 2010 and lost to the United States in the semifinals, fifth in 2012, losing to the United States in the quarterfinals, and then ended up sixth in 2014, losing to Serbia in the quarters. What kind of expectations do you guys have going into the Under-17s?
For me personally, I don't have any expectations. I'm just going in to win every single game we can and just focusing on one game at a time and taking every game as serious as possible, and hopefully we'll come out with a championship.
What would it mean for you to have to be on the podium come the end of the tournament?
That would be crazy, because I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong, but I don't think Canada's won a championship in our age group.
No, third place was the best, so you're a bronze then.
Yes, so being that first team would be insane. We'd be making history, and that just means so much to me.
Is there a feeling at all that you want to maybe have a chance at the Americans again?
Could you repeat that question?
Is there a feeling at all in the team that you'd like to have the Americans a chance to play them again?
Just bonding with the guys was really cool, and like having the Team Canada on my chest was like one of the biggest and best feelings in my life. Because representing my country is like a crazy feeling, like that only people who have done it would understand.
That team you guys have, obviously RJ and Simi play together down in Mount Verd. But there's a lot of weapons that you guys have. What makes you guys so strong?
I think just the way, because all of us have been playing with each other for a very long time, so we know how to play with each other, and I think that just playing as a team, and I think we have such a deep team that like we can bring anyone in and the game will stay at its pace.
And do you think that do you have a feeling that you want to play against the America, against USA again?
Oh yeah! Ever since we lost that game, all we've been thinking about is getting that game back.
Okay. There's a chance that you could play against Lithuania at the World Championship, knowing that that's your home country, your birth country, and that all your family is there. What would it be like to play against Lithuania at the World Championship?
I just take it as any other game.
Okay.
Just another basketball team, I guess. Just that I wouldn't think about like who's like it's every time I step on the court, it's a war against the other team. So I don't care where they're from or who's on the team. I just want to win.
What do you think you guys really have to do to have success there?
I think just staying composed and being staying together the entire trip is probably the most important thing, because I think that our teams are good enough to be like the best offensive team and defensive team. We just have to work together and find ways to do that.
All right. You have you're going to be playing at the BioSteel All-Canadian basketball game in really just a couple days. You know, your thoughts about that? You know, it seems to be getting more attention. You know, last year was the first game. What's it going to be like to play in that game?
I'm super excited to play in that game, being like the top 24 best high school players coming together from Canada and competing in one game is like really incredible, and it's a special feeling. A lot of hard work that we put in can pay off.
What does it mean though that Canada can put together a game like this, and that there's some really really super high level elite guys in this game? I mean, what does that say about the development of basketball in Canada?
Well, yeah, it just shows how much Canada basketball is growing. And how much more people are like finally paying attention to it, because most countries know Canada for their hockey, but basketball is like really good in Canada as well. And now it's starting to show with all these high school players playing. And like I think that as the years go on, more Canadian kids will want to play basketball.
What about for you? I assume probably you're going to want to go down to the States to play college there, and then depending how successful that goes, NBA, what kind of goals do you have for the next, let's say, 2-3 years?
Yeah, well, ever since I've started playing basketball since I was 6 years old, my goal is to make the NBA, and I still have that goal and desire, and I'd love to play divisional basketball in the States and hopefully make the NBA. And yeah,
is college in US gonna, is that gonna be the route you're gonna go?
I'm not sure right now. I still have one or two more years left of high school, so
okay Last question. How big of a Sacramento Kings fan are you, knowing that your Canadian-Lithuanian brother, if you will, Nick Stauskas, is there? How much do you follow him? Do you have a relationship with him, and what kind?
Yeah, well, just recently we started talking and texting with each other, and I'm just trying to learn as much as I can from him. And that's just crazy talking to an NBA player. And that's really cool for me. And I try to watch as many games as I can of his. But I'm pretty sure he plays for the Philadelphia 76ers now.
Oh, did he? Okay, sorry, I didn't see that. They moved.
Yeah.
Okay. But the fact that the Lithuanian connection is there, is that mean anything more to you there for that?
Yeah, that's just big. Like, knowing that his family originated from Lithuania, and like, there's a special connection there, and it's like, I'm really proud for Lithuania because he's an NBA and he's just making everyone proud.
All right, fantastic. All right, yes, was very excited to see him. Talked to him actually in Toronto at the All-Star Weekend. There was the Jordan Brand game, and also saw him at a high school game. Plays for Orangeville Prep. So he's going to be one of the main guns for Canada. Not the only gun, but they're one of the main guns. Next interview is with Tarek Rafat, who's who will be one of the leaders of the Egyptian team in Saragossa. So here's my chat with him.
Tarek, we're here at Albert Schweitzer Tournament. It's the first time Egypt's ever been here. You guys are playing a lot of great opponents. What's it like for you guys to be here?
It's a really good experience, especially for basketball in Egypt. You know, basketball in Egypt, we're starting to go up to the podium. You know, the basketball in Egypt, it's starting to get better and better by the year. Better generations are coming up. So, of course, for us to be in a tournament like this is going to help us a lot. Hopefully, the next generations will be able to come here and see the atmosphere and play against all these good teams, you know. So, hopefully, it'll have an experience on us and good.
You guys only have three guys who are 98, who are actually the age group here. What were your expectations coming here in general, and how do you think that's met your expectations? What were your expectations coming here?
Yeah, our expectations. I mean, we're not ready for the tournament. You know, we didn't get a good good off season really, because we were in the middle of the season in Egypt, so we didn't get time to have camps. You know. We're missing two big players, one in Spain and one in America. You know, the three 98 players, you know, like, we're lucky to have them right now. Two of them are playing really good. The other one, he has a problem with his ankle. So they're trying their best, you know, and all of us are trying our best, you know, but we're not ready for the tournament yet, but it's all right. It's no problem, you know.
What's the biggest thing you're learning from this whole thing? The whole team is learning from this.
The speed of the game, really, how the other teams play, it's amazing, you know, the way they push the ball up and down the court, their defense and everything, it's just amazing how they play, you know, and it's really good for us, even though we won the African Cup, you know, it was nothing like this, it's just a totally different atmosphere.
How much is this going to prepare you for Saragossa?
It's going to help us a lot, you know, just this tournament, and hopefully we're going to go to Bosnia and... I think it was June or something like that. It's going to help us a lot, our teamwork, getting ready for preparation to see how the other teams are going to play with the speed of the ball and all that kind of stuff, you know.
The last under 17s, you guys beat Philippines and Japan in 2012. You were beating the U.S. in the first quarter, went to overtime against Australia and lost by 1 point. Against the host Lithuania, what kind of expectations do you go? You're gonna have Kalaf, you're gonna have Mustafa, and then this experience. What kind of expectations do you guys have going there?
Spain?
Yeah.
You know, we got big expectations. You know, we're gonna have time for more camps to get ready, and hopefully by then our two players from one of the players from Spain will be back, Ahmed Bibo, and Assam Tamer from that went to America. They'll be back, and we'll be in full shape by then. the way we're going to play, the teamwork's going to be way better, we're going to be way stronger, everything's going to be top form for sure, and hopefully we're gonna make it, at least going to make it to the semifinals. That's our like goal, to make it to the semifinals, and then the World Cup that I'll be in Egypt 2017, I think, hopefully we're going to make it to at least take third. We have big expectations for these two World Cups coming up.
How much is Bebo going to help you guys? Obviously, this will be his second under-17s, and he also played at the under-19 before that. Bebo Khalaf was in Spain.
Yeah. Bebo Ahmed Khalaf, you know, he's an amazing player. He has such a good sense on the basket. He can shoot the ball. He can block. I mean, the guy's almost unstoppable. I mean, for him to play from starting, he's 99 and playing for 96 and 97, I think. I mean, it's amazing. And he took the best blocker. I mean, come on, it's unbelievable. And especially for when he played with the 97, 98, it's more experience for him. And for us, he's gonna hopefully he'll tear everybody up under the basket. And, like, he's just an amazing player. I can't, like, God just gave him so much talent, you know.
What's it going to be like for you to play at the World Championship in a couple months?
For me, it's an amazing experience. You know, it's a dream since I was little, even though I started playing soccer. And I've only been playing basketball for like 5 years. And for me to play in the World Cup, I mean, every kid that plays any kind of sport in his sport dreams to go to the World Cup, dreams to play for his national team. It's an amazing tournament. It's an amazing experience. And when you get older, you know, and you get to say that you play for in the World Cup for your national team, you know, it's an honor, you know. It's just unbelievable, really, for me.
What's it mean that you guys are going to host the under-19s next year? The women are hosting the under-18 Africa Championship this summer as well. What's it mean that Egypt is taking the next step in hosting events?
Of course, it's a big up for us, you know. Basketball in Egypt, it's not like soccer, but for the people to start, hopefully it'll start people looking towards basketball, coming, watching us, how more support in the country, you know. Like when we had the handball African Cup, it helped the handball big time. So for us to have the World Cup and the Women's African Cup, it's gonna help us big time, hopefully, you know. It's just basketball in Egypt, it's starting to go up, so hopefully when we have the World Cup and the African Cup, it should help us big time in the experience, and every time the Federation's helping us, trying to take us here and flying us out to different countries to play friendly tournaments. I mean, I can't even explain how thankful we are for the Federation are pushing us for this way to become better, and having the basketball in Egypt become way better, and just, I don't know.
What's it mean to have a guy like Anas Osama in Louisville, such a highly acclaimed university, and them going and saying we want this kid? How much does that give you guys motivation to take the next step as well?
Of course, it's a big thing. You know, that means like also the scouts and other countries starting to look at
you guys seriously too.
Yeah, exactly. For the scouts and all these kind of teams and coaches to come look at Egyptian players starting from now, especially Anas Mahmoud. I mean, he's in Louisville. I mean, come on, it's one of the best universities in basketball in the history of basketball, you know? So it's just, of course, it's an amazing thing, you know. Hopefully, next generation, maybe Bebo will be after Anas Mahmoud. Maybe he'll go, you never know, he can go to a Duke, maybe, hopefully, you know. Any kind of player that works hard, you know, any Egyptian player, hopefully, or any player from any country can make it, you know. Not just because basketball is not the main sport in the country doesn't mean that you can't make it the second main sport, the third main sport. No, it's just, you know, work hard and it'll pay off, you know.
Where are you born?
I was born in Los Angeles, California.
What's your connection to Egypt? I mean, how much time you spend there? I mean,
I've only been there for 5 years. I went there to play soccer, but
you went there to play soccer,
yeah,
from the States.
I was playing soccer in the States, uh-huh, for my whole life, and then when I got to Egypt, they some coaches.
Why'd you go to Egypt?
My father's Egyptian. My mother's from Los Angeles.
Okay.
I lived there until I was 9, and then my parents decided to move to Egypt.
Okay.
And my goals were to play soccer in Egypt because it's the main sport, you know. But then a coach walked up to me and was like, do you want to play basketball? And my dad also played basketball for the Egyptian national team. So my dad, of course, pushed me a little bit. And then I just stuck with it, you know, and I practiced day and night, and it paid off. And here I am playing in Germany, and I went to Mali, and I won the African Cup. I mean, it's a surprise for me going from a sport to sport and becoming this big in it, you know, and my country also. It's unbelievable to me, you know, in my eyes.
How have you seen then in those 5 years basketball? Are you in Cairo then, or
yeah, I'm in Cairo. Yeah.
How, you know, the rise of basketball then and all in Cairo. I mean,
the rivals.
The rise of it. What do you think? What's basketball like in the city?
In the city, I don't know how to answer that question. It's not too big. In Cairo, but in Alexandria, it's way better. Because they don't have soccer teams in Cairo. We have the two biggest soccer teams in the country, in Egypt, which is the Malik and Ahly. So all the kids go play soccer. But in Alexandria, you know, they got the Ittihad Club, they got Sporting Club, you know, and those are the main one, two of the best teams in basketball in Egypt right now. And, you know, so it's way bigger Alexandria than is in Cairo, but Cairo is rising. You know, I see a lot of kids walking up to us saying, should I play soccer, should I play basketball, do you think, you know, and we just answer and say, you know, follow your heart, you know, but hopefully basketball will get bigger in Cairo and Cairo, Egypt.
Okay, I'll let you go with that.
All right. Actually, was talking to the vice president of the federation, and they think he could be another Ahab Amin. Who obviously, you know, I think he's 95 generation, and he's already he started for the Egyptian senior national team at the World Cup, and didn't start there but played at the Afrobasket last summer, and actually was one of the leaders of that team there. So this is a nice little backcourt between him and Amin, if Rafat can continue to develop. Okay, last interview. The piece actually hasn't gone up, but it'll be coming up. Should be coming up on Thursday. It is with Onur Alp Bitim, the star of the Turkish team for the under 17 World Championship. Here's my chat with him, and we'll catch you on the other side of that.
Okay, Onur Alp, we're here. Bitim, we're here at the Albert Schweitzer tournament. You guys had a tough game today against Germany. They showed their class. You know, they showed a lot of their ability in the fourth quarter, their firepower. I guess in general, you three games into this tournament, it's a mix of 98 and a couple of the talented 99 generation. How do you think the team's doing here?
Actually, I think we are a very talented team, but we couldn't play good because we came here from Istanbul in just 4 days, because me and other two and three players, we are playing in States, so it's, you know, hard to practice with all of the team in the same time. So I mean, we didn't play good. Like, I'm being honest, they play better than us, but definitely normally we have more talented players. Like today, for me, I didn't play good. Like I will try to, you know, like work hard and then play better in World Championship and also under 18 European Championship. And also, we don't have Ömer Faruk and Ömer Al, and they are really talented players. I think they play better than us, but I'm telling to everyone, for me, we are the best team in the Europe.
What do you think that the group here, like you said, you're missing a couple of guys. Okay, Al wasn't here today, but he's with the team in general here. But what do you think this team is learning from this experience?
Like, most of the guys in our team right now, they didn't play in any European Championship. So, like, it's a really, really good experience for most of them. For example, this championship, because, for example, Like all backups today, they learned, you know, to play like a first point guard, and then we played like, you know, all shooting guards. We didn't have any point guard today. So I think that tournament is a really good place to, you know, learn something and experience it, because you know, like some of the players didn't come here, and like we played against Germany, and it was their home court, and it's a really, you know, like a great experience.
How do you feel about being here? I mean, this is a pretty prestigious tournament, and you know, in general, you're playing at a pretty high level. You're struggling outside with your shot a little bit, I think, you know, but in
because,
general,
like, I injured my ankle like 5 days ago. Normally, I couldn't practice in the first day, but I just wanted to play in the first game against Argentina in this tournament. Like my ankle is still hurts, but it's not an excuse. I'm not playing good, but like it's not a problem, because I know I can do it better. So I will just try to focus and I will try to play better, because I know I can do. I have a potential, and I know my teams have a potential. So we just need to show. It's like a normal tournament. So we just need to learn how to play like a real team and show everybody in the World Championship and European Championship. That's it.
This is the first time that Turkey's in the U-17 World Championship.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to know the draw in, I guess, about 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe your expectations, Turkey's expectations going to the U-17 World Championship for the first time.
I'm so excited, like everybody is excited, because you said that before, it's the first time, and our under 17 team is a really, really good team, and I think we of course we wanted to medal. I don't know, gold, silver or bronze, but we definitely want a medal. So we're so excited, and we still didn't do any practice together, but we will, and I think it's gonna be fun, and we will show everybody the real Turkish thing.
How disappointing was the loss to Lithuania in the semifinals, knowing that you were really just one step from going to the title game?
It was awful feeling, but it was helped me a lot to learn something. It was a great experience, because I lost 2 semifinals game in under 16 championships in a row. Of course, that's a very awful, really, really awful like a feeling, but it's a great experience.
And it gives you motivation now as well.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think that Turkey is going to need to do to have success in Zaragoza?
In Zaragoza?
Yeah.
I think we just have to play like us, you know, because we really did good job in the European Championship. And I think we just need to play, and you know, because I believe my team, and I believe my coaches, everybody, and you know, like we have an Ahmet Canduran, so I believe him too,
and Mustafa too.
Yeah, they're like unbelievable talents, unbelievable friends, and like a player. So, and of course Avşar, like we have a really good team.
When you came back and you saw Duran and sort of the reshaping that he's doing with his body, what'd you think?
I think like it's works. Like he's a really talented guy. I don't know. Like he still needs to, you know, lose some weights, but I think now he's okay. Now he's
getting
better.
There, huh?
Yeah,
he looks good, huh?
Yeah, he looks.
2005 last year, you also went to the Jordan Brand Classic. What was that experience like for you?
It was an unbelievable experience in States, and also, you know, like we played in the Barclays Center against the best players in the European world, and it was really important, because I said to my mom, like before that year, I have to select the All-Star 5 in European Championship, and I have to play in the Jordan Brand Classic Games in States. So I made it, and I'm so happy.
You decided to go to Huntington Prep, West Virginia, right?
Yeah.
West Virginia. What was your thought process in that? Why did you decide to do that?
I just thought my, you know, playing style is similar like the American players, and I just wanted to play in the States against the best players in the world. And I went there also because of my education, my language, and also I want to play in the college basketball.
You're playing there with obviously some Americans, high level Americans,
yeah,
Serbian, Canadians, Puerto Rican, Belgium,
and
we asked, we communicated back and forth really quick about the really young Egyptian. That must have been made it a little bit easier with the everything changing to at least have teammates around you who understand the world, right?
Yeah, definitely. And also, my teammates, you said they're really high levels. For example, Miles and Kurt, also they're helping a lot. Like they're really good teammates, and I think, I mean, that's a really good team. Like,
how do you think you've done over in the States? Let's say game wise, first time over there, getting used to things. How do you think you did?
I think I did okay. I did all right, but it was a year that for just experience, because I learned American basketball. So now, I learned something. Now I can show what I learned next year. So this is why I came this year, not next year.
Bulked up a little bit physically.
Yeah.
Was that something that you went there wanting to do? Is it something that you just kind of took part in with the team, or what was, and what was the plan when you did that? I mean, you look stronger at the lower half, and a little bit shoulders too. I mean, what did you really concentrate on?
Yeah, I wanted to be like a bigger, because American basketball is really different in Europe. If you're a smart player, then like you can do it, like you can, like score or create something. But in States also you have to be strong mentally and physically. So I just wanted to, get bigger, and that's it.
Are you done now, or do you want to do more with your body, what are you looking to do?
Keep going. I wanted to be like a NBA, like a player's body, like, because maybe my body is like a good for like a better than any other players in the Europe, but it's still just a normal body in States. So I have to keep on and get bigger. That's it.
And keep the versatility, keep the flexibility, and keep the athleticism. Is that something that you're working extra hard then? Because when you put on more muscle, it might make you slower or less flexible. I mean, what are you doing to try to do that?
Like, we have a really good trainers in Huntington Prep, like Chris Lane. He's an unbelievable guy, and he knows a lot about the body, and he's helping me a lot. And like, it's I'm just he has a plans for me, and like the all for like for all team, and I'm just doing what he wants because I trust him.
And you going back to Huntington Prep then after this summer then, or what's the plan?
I still didn't decide yet.
And haven't decided yet on Huntington or going back to the States, or
I will definitely probably, like, I want to play in the States next year too. Like, that's my plan, but I still didn't decide to which team.
Mm-hmm. And when do you want to decide that? I mean, you have the, like you said, the World Championship coming up.
Probably after the World Championship.
Okay.
Right after the World Championship.
Okay, but it's definitely high school, prep school, whatever, back in the States afterwards?
Yeah, I want to, like, a prep school, like a good prep school, like, because it's going to be my last year before the college, so.
Okay, so that'll be your senior year then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And college, is it something you're thinking about right now as far as?
Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, are you looking at schools and all, or just?
I'm not, like, I just wanted to focus my senior year, that's it, and then after that year, I just wanted to, you know, like, choose the college, but I don't interest right now, like, any college right now.
You have time. You have time. You mentioned the 18s. It's the qualifiers, the U18 European Championship at home in Samson. It's a qualifier. You know, the 18s have had fun at home. It's the qualifiers also for the U19 World Championship. You see a very talented Germany team here. You see a very talented Serbia team. Mm-hmm. You know, you figure Lithuania will probably bring some of the good 99s that you saw at the 16s. You know, that's going to be Latvia, France. You know, those were the finalists in the 98 generation. Thoughts about that tournament?
You said, but like, there's a really, really good teams in the generation, really tough teams, but you know, it's gonna be our hometown, and we lost the semifinals in under 16, then 1998 generation. And I think,
did you lose to France or you lose to Latvia?
France. And I think this time, you know, like, I lost two semifinals in a row, but this time, I'm just telling you, we will play in the final.
When you're not on the court, when you're not on, you know, practicing, whatever, you have nothing to do with basketball, what do you do?
Actually, I have a backcourt, like a rim in my, like a, in my backcourt in States, so I'm really doing just practicing and of course homeworks, because we have a lot of homeworks in States, so just homework and basketball, that's it, that's my life.
Mm-hmm. And the Turkish community, do you have any connection back in the States at all to anybody? Is that something you miss at all? What do you miss about home when you're in the States?
Of course, my family. First of all, my family and like my friends, especially Turkish food. Oh my God! Yeah, like, you know, because like American people love fast food, but you know, Turkish kitchen is really good. I miss my, like, I miss a lot of things, but I'm doing this because I have a dreams, and you know, that's life.
You gotta learn how to cook then, huh?
Yeah.
You have to learn how to cook Turkish food, huh?
Definitely.
Have your mom come over and cook?
Yeah.
And cook with her, right?
Yeah.
But isn't, Erim is there, right?
With you? Yeah.
Does he cook at all or no?
Nah.
He can't cook
either. He's just eating.
All right, I'll let you go with that. Good luck. And we'll see you in Saragossa.
Nice to see you.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff all around. All right, I think with that, I'm going to head out. Need to get some stuff done before I leave for Berlin. And so music, this is a special one. It's called Alona Waltz, and it's a instrumental ukulele song. And it's played by my wife, Mona Hein. So hope you enjoy this one. It's a very nice, tender song. And Alona Waltz by Mona Hein. Enjoy this song, and we will talk to you next week when we have a new European champion, European club champion, and a new Adidas Next Generation tournament champion. So enjoy that, and talk to you next week. Thank you.
Hi, this is Patrick Baumann, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.